A Durham restaurant owner pleads guilty to raping his employee. Only on WRAL. Why the teenage survivor believes there could be more victims. A new dire UN report saying this is our last chance to prevent catastrophic global warming.
The climate time bomb is ticking.
WRAL's climate change reporter explains the predictions and what North Carolina is doing to help fix the problem.
The calendar says spring, but it feels like January. Who's facing a freeze and when temperatures start to soar?
Well, as we take a live look as the sun is going down in Beaufort, just take a nice deep breath and realize the sun is setting on the first day of spring. At the same time, we're tracking another freeze warning for all of us. Temperatures will dip into the 20s in some places. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Snow flurries, even some sleet came down a little earlier in our southern and coastal communities today. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. And Kat, after tonight, we will start to see things warming up.
Oh, and it's going to be a drastic warm up. It feels like we go straight from winter to summer on our 7-day forecast. But tonight we've got 20s for Roxboro and Roanoke Rapids down to 27, 28 in Rocky Mount, 29 Lewisburg, low 30s here in the Triangle and in Wilson, 32 in Fayetteville, 31 in Smithfield, but getting down into the 20s in Moore County and even in Sanford. Make sure you protect your plants and your pets tonight. It is our third night in a row where we are under a freeze warning, and this one from 1 a.m. through 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. But this is the last freeze warning of our stretch and likely for the next at least 7 days. The average last spring, though, is not until early April here in our viewing area. And even up toward Roxboro, the average last spring freeze is between April 11th through the 21st. So the cold weather may not be entirely done yet, but we have a big warm up on the way, and that will come with the potential for some rain. I'll talk more about when we could see some showers this week coming up. Dan.
Thanks, Kat.
Today, a Durham County restaurant owner pleaded guilty to raping one of his young employees. In court, we learned the rape happened behind the restaurant. Only on WRAL, Durham reporter Sarah Kruger spoke with a survivor who hopes to inspire others.
The victim and her family wanted us to be in court today because they believe there could be more victims, and they hope this story will help empower them to come forward.
Roma's Pizza is a family-run restaurant in the small town of Rougemont. Tamer El-Tanani was a co-owner. Now he'll spend at least 16 years in prison after pleading guilty to a number of charges, including statutory rape.
He often brought candy to work, offered free food, and was the fun boss.
Speaking in court, the mother of the victim said El-Tanani, 32 at the time, used his position of power to manipulate her teenage daughter. We are not showing her face to protect the victim's identity.
Tamer took my child's innocence, her zest for life, her carefree joy, and her trust in humans.
The mother said another family member had worked at Roma's, and so the two families knew each other pretty well. She says last March, El-Tanani had been at her house, and that after she went to sleep, he came back to pick up her daughter, took her to the restaurant, and raped her. She says her daughter was initially too afraid to talk about it until he almost sexually assaulted her again the next day.
She was told by Tamer several times that he used to be law enforcement, and that if she ever told anyone or interfered with his success, that he would erase her entire family tree. She believed him. He often showed off how he always carried a loaded weapon around with him.
After court, she told me why her family wants to be public about the case.
Again, in our small town, having been the only place to be hired for teenagers for quite a few years, I think that if there are other people who need to come forward, maybe they would find strength from her having shared her story and also do the same.
A message echoed by the survivor, who feels comfort knowing El-Tanani will be in prison for years.
It gives me a lot of time to just sit back and try to love life again, teach myself to love life again. Of course, I do think that he messed up my whole life, and I'm never going to forget about it.
The victim's mother told me after all of this came to light, she learned El-Tanani had made unwanted sexual advances against her other teenage family member who used to work at Roma's. I asked the district attorney's office about any information on additional victims. They just told me that anyone with information should give them a call. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News in Durham.
As part of the plea agreement, 16 years is the minimum sentence. El-Tanani could spend as long as 24 years in prison. He will have to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life.
Also new tonight, a Wendell man charged with raping a child is in jail under $3 million bond. Today, 36-year-old Jorge Raul De La Cruz Mejina appeared in court for the first time since his arrest. He's accused of having sex with the daughter of an acquaintance for years. Deputies charged him with crimes against nature and first-degree statutory rape. The judge ordered him to have no contact with anyone under 18.
Investigators are still on the scene in Cary, more than 24 hours after a body burned was found in a fire pit at a home on Dorset Drive. Another man was found with a self-inflicted gunshot wound inside an RV in the driveway. Cary firefighters were called to the home yesterday morning for an illegal trash burn. That's when they found a body. It was so severely charged, the medical examiner is trying to identify who it is. After finding the body, investigators came upon the man in the RV.
We are just as disturbed as everyone else is. This is not a typical event that happens in Cary. You know, Cary typically ranks as one of the safest cities, and we're very proud of that distinction. However, that doesn't mean that we are immune to things happening here. But something of this nature is definitely outside of the norm, so it is raising a lot of questions.
Cary police say the homeowner who shot himself is in critical condition. They are not yet releasing his name or the name of a woman found on the property who was not harmed. They say they are not ruling out charges against the homeowner at this time.
New tonight, a group is pushing for changes to keep bicyclists and pedestrians safer in Durham. They're calling for some safety improvements there and other protections. WRL's Julian Grace joins us now live from Durham with this list of requests. Julian.
Yes, Dan, there is a long list of requests. For starters, they want to repair the sidewalks and ramps and make sure bicyclists are safe. Now, a number of people just went inside for that meeting that's scheduled to start in just a little bit. But I want to show you this video you're about to see. This is a sign of unity that we witnessed a little bit earlier today. Those in favor of the improvements showed up on bikes along West Main Street. They chose this location because recently vehicles blocked a bike lane, forcing bicyclist Noel Goyette to swerve and hit a pothole, throwing him from his bike. Now, he suffered serious injuries. There have also been a couple of deadly crashes in the Bull City. That's one of the main reasons why this group is pushing for change.
Where you could put $100 worth of plastic tubes in and save the city $50,000 worth of emergency services, blocking off Main Street on a Friday night, and me $20,000 worth of bills and medical problems. That's just my situation.
After the demonstration, some bike riders rode right here to City Hall to express how they feel. Now, coming up later tonight at 10 and 11, there's much more to this proposal, and I'll tell you what else this group plans to do, Dan, to get their point across.
All right. Let us know. Julian Grace, live in Durham. Talk to you again soon. Thanks, Julian.
Tonight, Wake County families who need help putting food on the table are getting some help. County leaders approved a plan to spend more than $7 million to help families in need. WRL's Destiny Patterson explains the impact of the food security plan.
A meal is not something families should have to go without, but it can be one of the first things to go in the budget when money gets tight.
Food is that one budget that you can always up and down like a roller coaster.
Especially now when food prices have soared. In fact, 12% of people and more than 37,000 children in Wake County struggle with food insecurity. It's an issue that Wake County is tackling with its updated food security plan.
This plan is more intentional. Reduction in duplicated services, as well as being able to tailor the plan and how we distribute food to the groups of the community that we're serving.
Melvin Acosta is the vice president of operations for Interfaith Food Shuttle. It's a nonprofit that helps feed children, families, and seniors. He says they've seen a nearly 10% jump in people coming to them for help over the last 30 days. The reason? Additional SNAP benefits that were in place during the pandemic ended at the beginning of this month.
Now you have the single father or the single mother with kids or a single income household that have to make a choice.
He worked with several other organizations to contribute to the plan. It lays out 8 strategies, including more food pantry storage and investments in community gardens in low-income areas, as well as community health workers who can help with language barriers and culturally specific concerns.
The plan was created with community at the forefront, the desire to address root cause issues of hunger.
This plan has been in the works since last June, and developers say that it's meant to cater to the communities who need those services the most. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Wake County.
A new warning worldwide in securing a livable, sustainable future on this planet. What today's UN climate change report says must be done and how North Carolina plays a role in it all coming up. Plus, our state, the gas price is dropping faster than most states nationwide. We're going to show you where they stand and how they compare coming up.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A man facing 2 life sentences for a rape dating back 30 years denied the charges in court today. A Wake County judge increased the bond to $1 million for DeAndre Smith. Raleigh police arrested the 51-year-old over the weekend for the rape of a 73-year-old woman back in 1990. Investigators say Smith broke into a woman's home on South State Street, demanded money, and then sexually assaulted her. The victim's rape kit went untested for decades. Police now say DNA links Smith to the crime. In court today, Smith denied the accusations, saying he did not know how to have sex at 19 years old.
This charge is ridiculous. I did not do this such. It's 30 years ago, I did not do this charge.
Smith will be back in court in April.
The number of children who died from poisoning rose significantly in 2021. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission reports a 37% spike in child poisoning deaths that year. 59 of them were children under 5 years old who got a hold of prescribed or illegal drugs. About 8 in 10 of the poisonings happened at home, so officials remind parents to keep medications and cleaning supplies out of the reach of children. Let's talk gas prices. They're dropping significantly in our state. LendingTree reporting North Carolina has the 6th largest decrease in gas prices throughout the entire country. Right now, the average price per gallon, $3.21. That's down 4 cents from a week ago, down nearly 80 cents from this time last year. Currently, the national average price per gallon is $3.44.
Well, that makes it cheaper for a trip to the coast. Look at how lovely this is on the first day of spring, and the sun is still up. We have a lot to celebrate, Kat.
Yes, we do. The only downside is the pollen. You know, love the springtime warmth when it comes around in March, but just a heads up, pollen levels are going to be sky high at the end of the week, so keep that in mind. And we may need a little rain to help wash away the pollen. You've got dry weather tomorrow and really most of the week. Just want to give you an early heads up. On Wednesday, you may run into a few sprinkles. It's not going to add up to much and it wouldn't last very long. So go ahead, get your car washed this week. You're going to need it with the yellow adding up on the windshields. Saturday is our best chance for rain this week. Still, it doesn't look like a washout kind of a system. We could see some scattered showers the way it looks now early in the day, but don't cancel any plans just yet. For Wednesday's rain, as these showers move past the North Carolina mountains, they really fall apart. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit of patchy light drizzle, though, during the day on Wednesday. Thursday, we're going to be watching a developing system to our northwest. We have this front that just kind of stalls out and gets stuck Thursday and throughout the day on Friday. Our big ridge of high pressure that helps us warm up is going to help to keep this system to our west during the day on Friday, but it does make it here on Saturday. Keep checking back in for updates as we get closer. We'll be able to fine-tune the rain timeline. A live look from the Point Restaurant at Lake Gaston. The sunset this evening, absolutely beautiful. The water looking quite serene, but quite chilly. A freeze is likely tonight. 27 the low in Roxboro. It's likely to be in the upper 20s there in Lake Gaston. I know a lot of boats still winterized. 30 in Durham tonight, 31 in Raleigh, and 32 degrees in Fayetteville. Tomorrow, you can lose the jackets by the afternoon, though. It's going to be bright and beautiful, not terribly windy, just a nice, comfortable day in the 60s with the sunshine during the afternoon. High temperatures climb into the low to mid 60s. Make sure that you're dressing in layers, though, because it is still going to be quite frigid in the morning. 32 at 8 a.m. at the bus stop. Lunchtime temperatures, 52. At least it's sunny outside, but pretty chilly at lunchtime. So during the afternoon, the temperatures really take a jump. 64 degrees by the time we get to 4 o'clock. It ends up being a beautiful day and pretty much right on par with normal. The normal high this time of year is 64 degrees. We're going straight from below normal temperatures to a couple days of normal, and then temperatures really jump by the end of the week. There's that small chance for rain on Wednesday. The rest of the week, though, looking dry, at least during the work week. Thursday and Friday, it's going to be pretty toasty outside, getting up to 85 degrees on Friday. The humidity going up just a hair as well for the end of the week. Partly cloudy and dry, though, so if you do want to get outside and enjoy those temperatures, go for it. Maybe you want to head to the beach this weekend. It should be a good weekend to do so. We are going to watch for some of those showers to swing through on Saturday, but not a washout, and you've got 70s even over the weekend after that cold front arrives, Deborah.
You know, Kat, because we can't get enough of this sunset, here's another live look at Beaufort with that. Look at the colors. You just can't even
That image right next to these numbers, tempting a lot of folks at home tonight.
No doubt about that. Thanks, Kat. A new United Nations report out today says the world is on the brink of catastrophic warming, but it's not all doom and gloom. Feasible and effective options exist to reduce greenhouse gas emissions if the biggest polluters take swift action. WREL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin explains how North Carolina plays a role in doing just that.
The climate time bomb is ticking.
A stark warning today from the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that the world is nearing its last chance to prevent the Earth from reaching a dangerous climate threshold.
There's really no time to lose. Every fraction of a degree matters when it comes to this fight.
The Earth has already warmed more than 2 degrees Fahrenheit since pre-industrial times, and according to the new UN report, is set to surpass the Paris 2.7 degree warming limit by the early 2030s.
We need some of these highest emitters, some of these biggest economies, to move fastest, furthest.
United Nations leaders are pushing rich, developed countries such as the U.S. to eliminate carbon emissions completely by 2040, about a decade sooner than current goals.
I think on behalf of the world scientists, I can say we've been sounding the alarm bells now for several decades.
The report comes as the U.S. continues to approve new fossil fuel projects, including a large drilling project in Alaska known as Willow, approved last week by the Biden administration.
It would lock in 3 decades of fossil fuel production and burning that we cannot afford.
The report says there's still a chance to change course by cutting greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030, a goal already adopted by North Carolina in Governor Cooper's executive order last January. But according to a decarbonization analysis released last month, the state is expected to miss that mark, with projections that it will only reach a 46% reduction in emissions by 2030.
We can be more aggressive and reduce more quickly. Having North Carolina play its role in helping to achieve national and international targets of where we want to see emissions go.
According to the UN report, delays of even a few years for global targets could ensure a hotter, more dangerous future. Liz McLaughlin, WREL News.
Still ahead, heads up for some families hoping to enjoy some of the nicer temperatures this weekend and the days ahead. At a local park, the sections of Dix Park closing so crews can prepare for J. Cole's Dreamville Music Festival. I'll tell you coming up.
Get the most out of your tax refund by calling WREL's Five on Your Side's Tax Pros on call tomorrow.
We have some experts be answering your tax questions from 4 o'clock until 7 p.m. on March 21st. Here's the number on your screen right now, 919-234-5007. We know the tax code is complicated. It changes year after year, so please avoid some costly mistakes and save yourself some time. Reach out to the Tax Pros and give them a call tomorrow. Today is the start of the very first restaurant week in the town of Apex.
12 restaurants are participating with some specials and deals on lunch and dinner. Restaurants are offering either $15 lunch or $30 dinner menus, or both. It's a boost for the town because 90% of Apex's business are small businesses. As many are not willing to pay as much to wine and dine as they used to, restaurants are still dealing with inflation as well. You know, it's a great boost for businesses in a town booming with growth. We have a full list of participating businesses and their deals at WREL.com. Well, you are looking live right now at Dix Park. Very soon, the big field there will be closed as the city prepares for the Dreamville Festival.
What a beautiful view. So this is the first of several upcoming closures at the park to tell you about. Construction will start on the stages. It takes a little while to get all that stuff built and some other structures needed for the festival. So part of Biggs Drive is going to close later this week. Then the entire park closes next Friday. This year's festival has an impressive lineup. Drake, Usher, Fayetteville native J. Cole, of course, will all perform. Tickets are already sold out. The festival begins April 1st. North Carolina native Fantasia set to perform in our area this summer.
We all remember her on American Idol, and she won a Grammy Award. She is a star, and she's going to take the stage at the Crown Coliseum in Fayetteville June 23rd. She will not be alone. R&B singer Joe will join Fantasia, and so will DJ Sean Nice. Tickets for the show go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. The North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher needs your help to name a trio of adorable otter pups.
Let's take a look. Three-month-old Asian small clawed otters. Look at those faces. The staff has narrowed down name choices for the three, and it's now up to the community to pick their favorites. Each name is going to be based on the native habitat of these otters. You can see the options and vote online right now. Just go to WRAL.com.
Look at that little guy on the left.
The one on the left is like, what are you looking at?
Yeah, he's got some attitude.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us here on WRAL and choosing us for your local news.
Our next news is at 10 on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRAL. Have a great night, everybody.
Watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.